Hey, what's good? This is Rich.
And I'm Marcus.
And you're listening to Paychecks and Balances, where we talk making money, saving money, and getting out of debt, all while having some fun along the way.
And on today's show, we're chatting with Amber De La Garza, the productivity specialist and host of the Productivity Straight Talk podcast. We'll walk through how she defines productivity. It's a little bit different definition than what you might have in mind, and how to get your life in order in 2019. You might even hear us end up on the therapist couch in a good way, as she helps us navigate our individual struggles with productivity, which impact both time and money.
Yeah, fam, I think you went to that couch before I did.
Hey, man, ain't no shame. No therapist shaming.
No, not at all. Not at all. But before that, I want to remind folks to check out P&B Premium on Patreon, our offering for those that contribute $5 a month to the podcast. If you join us there, you'll receive bonus content like the after show, which includes the conversations we have amongst ourselves with guests. And also when it's just us talking after we, air quotes, go off the air. And we'll also periodically provide tools and tricks that you won't find elsewhere, like a template to help you negotiate down your rent at renewal time. So I got one from somebody and it helped them save roughly $200 per month. And if you're wondering, why not just make it free? Well, we've been doing that for about 5 years now, while also maintaining our day jobs, which we've talked about on the podcast. And in addition to time, running P&B currently cost us over $600 per month. And that's going to increase as we continue to keep going and as we continue to grow. And part of why we're able to produce a weekly show, newsletter, and blog is that we've hired help, including a virtual assistant and a producer. And we also redid our website late last year, which was a consultant cost that had us into the four figures. And that's with being responsible. So this isn't about padding our wallets. It's about helping us cover the operating costs so we can keep reaching and helping more people. And so that we can stay on track with our individual goals and the show goals, which we've talked about on previous episodes of the podcast. And so several projects and initiatives have been delayed due to our own individual bandwidth, and something you've heard guests say, hire help, which we've done. And hey, maybe one day we'll be able to do this full time. So to become a P&B Premium member, aka P&B Patron, visit paybal.co/Patreon. Again, that's paybal.co/Patreon, P-A-T-R-E-O-N. As always, we thank you for the support, however you provide it, because you ultimately don't owe us anything, whether it's a review, whether it's a mention on social, whether it's a financial contribution. But if you believe in these two men of color doing what we're doing, this may be a good option for you. And now, here's our conversation with Amber, and we hope you walk away feeling productive. So welcome to the show, Amber.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me. I was so excited when you reached out because we've met each other a couple of times and now we get to chat. So this will be fun.
Yes, it's all coming full circle. So I know a little bit about you, but tell the good people of the P&B fam a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I am the productivity specialist. I actually specialize in personal productivity training, coaching, speaking for entrepreneurs. I also have a podcast called Productivity Straight Talk. And those are just all ways that I share the message that improved productivity increases profits and reduces stress. And I am absolutely passionate about helping entrepreneurs do that.
And is that something that could also be applied to those of us who are in the working world? So a lot of us have day jobs, and we'll talk a little bit more about that because I know people hear entrepreneurship and they're like, oh, I'm not thinking about starting a business. This isn't going to be relevant to me. But this is also relevant if you have a day job and you just want to get more out of life, right?
This is absolutely relevant no matter what goal you have in your life. So if you're listening to this podcast, you actually probably have a goal. You're looking to improve in some area of your life. And with your permission, I'll just start off with my definition of productivity to give a framework and context, and then invite everyone to, you know, into that definition, and then we can move forward.
Yeah, that sounds good.
All right, awesome. So I define productivity as investing your best time into your best activities. And so that is a framework that can lay over your, you know, your health and working out and your corporate job, your relationships with your spouses and your children. It lays over entrepreneurship, because at the end of the day, it is our job to identify the activities that will propel us towards our goals. And that sounds easy, but it's actually more difficult than it sounds to have that clarity and focus. And then your second job is to now allocate your best time towards those things so that you can reach your goals. And like I said, that is simple things like, you know, how much time are you investing in relationships around you to make them the relationships that you intend to have? It could be the promotion you're looking for at corporate. It could be your health. So I love productivity, all things, but like any good business owner, you have to niche down. So today we're going to talk about productivity, but it absolutely is relevant for anybody listening.
Yeah, I'm definitely glad you gave that definition because I know that's going to mean a lot of different things to different people. Some people might just think time management. Some people might think complex systems, which I'll have a question about that later. Some people might think that it means finding a way to just lay on the couch and chill, which I think that could be a good investment of time because sometimes we do need to get rest too, you know?
I agree. I actually just did a post. I had this Canadian Dry. I love ginger ale. And I said, just chill. And I did a whole post about, you know what? You have to have those just chill times to be able to be productive at your best times. Like, it's about balance. So sometimes you're being effective and efficient and productive so that you can have downtime guilt-free, right? Mm-hmm. We all need it.
Definitely. And so today you're the productivity strategist and working for yourself. But before that, I know you spent some time in the corporate world, the working world. So tell us about it. Why don't you?
Yeah. So I was in the corporate world. You can take it as far back as I had this passion for real estate when I was in high school. So I seeked out a program where I could intern one full day a week and go to school 4 days a week. And I start there because that led into going to school and getting a degree in real estate and business management. Why I did that, I worked in multiple different areas of real estate. I got licensed at a very young age, like 18, and sold real estate for several years. But my passion was training and coaching and behind the scenes and operations. And, you know, at the time, you don't know that those are the seeds that propel you to your future, right?
Right.
So I, you know, do what any young 20-year-old does and ask for a meeting with the CEO of Prudential Americana here in Las Vegas. It was like 7 offices, 1,200 plus agents. And I said, look, here's my experience. I've been with your company all this time. Give me a chance. I'll start anywhere. And I remember sitting at this long board table and it was just he and I. And I was like, okay, going for the ask. And he literally started me second over receptionist. But within 6 months, I was actually in a training position. And then I moved into a coaching position where I was coaching the top 20% sales executives business systems, like how to grow their teams, how to grow their businesses with business systems. At that time, I was, paid from corporate to coach. So it wasn't an individual business. I was paid to coach the sales executives within the organization. And that actually was a very key point in that we had amazing training and amazing business systems. But my clients kept coming back to me saying, oh my gosh, that's so good, but I'm overwhelmed. I just don't have enough time. I'm too busy working in my business to work on my business. Like life, right? Like all these things that happen to us. Kids get sick. Elderly parents get sick. It was all of these things. And so it was that seed that was planted that I believe that it's about personal productivity and how we manage ourselves that will allow us to achieve any goal we want. So fast forward like 10 years, I had my son and I was like, I am not going back to corporate. I literally took all my vacation, all my maternity, and looked at my son and just said, I'm not going back. So about 3 weeks before I went back, I asked for a meeting with the COO and I resigned. And at that time, my husband and I had decided that my goal would be to stay home for 2 years to raise my son as my primary goal. Okay. And I resigned and the gentleman, his name's Gordon, reaches over the table and says, now this is like this big, husky, muscular, like bodybuilder guy, right?
The Rock?
The Rock, yeah. He's just like this huge guy. And he reaches over the table, leans over the table and says, good for you for choosing family over work. Will you stay on as a consultant?
Awesome.
Wow.
And I was like, what? Okay, hold on. Well, I actually came in here to quit. So can I talk to my husband? Like this changes everything. And I was fortunate enough to do consulting for 2 years from home at nap times, night times, and all of that. But what that did was plant that seed of, whoa, like I'm working better hours. I'm getting paid better. I'm only doing the projects I love. Like there's something to this. And so that was when I decided to start my own business. So there was a lot of little things there, but, you know, it all worked out.
So I had two questions, but you just answered one. So I'll say that one for the benefit of the listening audience is that's, had you negotiated a package for when you left, but it sounds like you just went directly into consulting. And before you answer that one, I'm going to have to actually backdate 10 years because I graduated college and still didn't know what I wanted to do. Yet you knew in high school that you wanted to go into real estate. So can you unpackage that a little bit for me?
Yeah, absolutely. So here's the truth. I was raised very, very poor. I mean, like it was ramen noodles, cleaning houses with my mom after school. We lived a very poor life. So for me, real estate looked like driving fancy cars, showing pretty houses. Like it wasn't like this girl had it figured out because it's not like that at all. But that was initially what had me think like, okay, well, what should I do? And I should probably mentor, like find a mentor and an intern and see what this is really about. And so that's what I did my junior and senior year. And I actually liked it. It ended up not being all the things that I initially, you know, why I seeked out. I mean, I did one semester with a financial planning company and I was like, oh my gosh, this is so boring. So if you know me, like literally sat me in a conference room doing like paperwork and that was not a fit. So I loved real estate. I loved the people. I loved the different, you know, every day was different. And so I just leaned into that. And so when I went to college and they were like, what do you want to do? And I was like, well, I have no money. I'm interested in real estate. And so I ended up getting a full ride scholarship for real estate. And while I was there, I got a degree in business as well. So it was just one kind of decision after another, like, you know, we don't have money. How am I going to go to school? What am I interested in? Let's see where this takes me.
So as far as productivity goes, and I also would tie this to being disciplined, were those things that you were always good at, like natural talents, like you're just good at getting things done, getting things organized? Were you just naturally, well, Marie Kondo I know is for like getting organized at home and so on, but did you have like just a natural inclination to kind of be able to find extra time and get organized and be productive?
Yeah, so great question. I feel like it would make a better story if I told you I was a train wreck and I found this magic pill and now I'm proactive and I'm going to teach you that. So that's not the story.
I actually hate those stories.
Okay. So I actually believe that I definitely, like when I had chaos in my life, I leaned into organization. I was the kid that would reorganize her room, pull everything out of every drawer, move all the furniture around, like really dorky stuff. So yes, I had some tendencies to that. But, you know, now that I'm older and I look back, it was me trying to find control over chaos, right? Like I had this room that I was in control of. So organization gave me that. Now, as I've, you know, matured and grown and gotten deep, deep into this area, I just want to be really, really clear that there's a couple principles that I stand on. And one is that organization is not the same as being productive. Mm. And in fact, efficiency is not the same as being productive. And I'm gonna give you a couple examples of that.
Got it.
We all know people, or let me know if you know anyone. Just, you don't have to give their names, but if you're thinking, do you know someone that you cannot see them behind their desk? There's paperwork everywhere. There's clutter, but they're slaying their goals.
Yes.
Okay. So to me, what makes that true, because we all know somebody like that, why would you shame them and tell them like you have to be organized and your environment has to look like this? At the end of the day, it's about achieving your goals effectively. And I think this is really powerful because people think that they are either born productive or not. And maybe that's not words they use. They think I'm either, you know, born with good time management or I'm born with organization. And that is not true. I honestly believe it's what I do. It's what I teach, that productivity is a skill set that can be learned just like any other skill set that you see, if you learned, would improve your life. And after the skill set and having it, because we all have different skill sets, now it's a choice on if you're going to use that skill set. And just to circle that all around, it's your choice if you're going to invest your best time into your best activities to achieve your goals. So kind of full circle and just kind of unfold that is I don't want anyone walking away here thinking, oh my gosh, like to be productive, I have to first organize. To be productive, I have to have like these perfect workflows and efficiency. Because we can be really, really efficient about the wrong things. And if I'm completely honest, like I loved organization and efficiency, but that wasn't putting dollars in my bank account. So I was focusing on the wrong things to create efficiency around in times of my life. And I think a lot of your listeners are probably doing the same thing.
I'm doing it.
So the straight... Okay, there you go. You know, and it's comfortable for some personalities, it's comfortable to live behind that, but it's just a form of procrastination of doing the work that really matters.
Yeah. And you said something that really struck me there because you talked about how you got into this and you'd want to have control. And I'm very much the same way when I think about my desk. So my desk at work is pretty bare. I don't have any pictures up. People probably think I have this secret life, which I kind of do. Okay. That made it sound kind of sketchy, which my secret life is mainly around this podcast and other business things.
I was going to say your secret life is publicized on the podcast, but okay, go for it.
But I've noticed that whenever things get extremely hectic and whenever I'm extremely stressed, my first thing to do is get organized and clean. That's always the case. And even in my own place, I'll be honest, I'm not the neatest person, but there'll be a day where I walk in and there's so much clutter and there's so much going on that I just stop and organize. And then I look at the finished product. Everything looks like it's supposed to be where it is, though there's still a lot of dust everywhere because I'm not good at dusting. Also, interestingly enough about dust and cleaning, it always feels like when I start cleaning that I then discover something else that needs to be cleaned that I never thought about. So I'll organize something, some dust will fly up in my face, I'll start wheezing and coughing, and then I'm like, okay, I should dust. Then I'll pull something out and realize that something else needs to be cleaned, there's something else needs to be done. And so I say all that to say is that I know there are a lot of other people who probably have the same struggle where it's like, okay, I have so many different things I could be doing right now. So for somebody that's getting organized, or for someone that's really thinking about productivity in the way that you defined it, which I really love that definition, where should someone really get started?
Well, first, I want to tell you that you are not doing it wrong by creating an environment that supports your productivity. So the difference is that other people, their environment looks different to support their productivity. I cannot work in chaos. And so, you know, when I reference, you know, the right time, so investing your best time into your best activities, your best time is distraction-free, focused time. And for people like you and I, those papers are like talking to us. That clutter is like total distraction. But for others, they can zone it out completely. So for you, yes, you need to maintain an environment that will allow you to do your best work. So keep doing that. Now, what you were referencing was going down this rabbit hole of, yes, and then it's this, and then you can organize deeper, and then it's the dust bunnies, and then it's the this, this, and that. And that's about discipline and knowing, is this truly interfering with me doing my best work, or is this like, you know, creative procrastination? And only you can be totally honest with that and make a different decision. So now we're back to, again, you know, productivity is a choice. I've said that so much because I know we all feel that, right? Like we have this schedule, or we have these goals, or we have these routines, right? Mm-hmm. And if we just followed these ideal, you know, schedules or routines, there would be no problem slaying our goals. We would be healthy. We would have time with our loved ones. We would, you know, work and get to work on time. Like, we would have time to build businesses on the side if we choose to. Like, ideally on paper, it looks great. But there's something that happens, and it's that negotiating with ourselves. And it's that those small points in time when we are choosing to either be productive and do the work or do the thing or not. I've actually said this so often. I used to rent office space. I'm back at home now. And I had my son in for, he was not in school that day. He's sitting on my couch in my office, had his iPad headphones. He's 7 at the time. And someone walks into my office and we're chit-chatting. And he literally takes the headphones off, leans in and goes, "Productivity is a choice you make every day," and puts the headphones back on. Like, that was his, right? There's such a reflection of that. And that's when I realized, oh my gosh, like in some way or another, I have been saying that, but not that succinctly. Those words came from my son because he's heard me say that we are, you know, We're not victims of our time. We're not victims of our situation. We truly have a choice. And sometimes we make a choice to Netflix and binge. And sometimes we make the choice that we're like, this investment of time will get me to where I want to be with our goals.
I have a question there, and I was trying to figure out how to put this. I appreciate that because it's a great segue. I know that I'm pretty smart, at least I think I am, as it pertains to, okay, I need to be doing something different. But I even find myself in the same FOMO or social media where if I don't get on, so my drug social media choice is Twitter. If I don't get on, I can stay off all day. But if I log on, I can't get off. So do you have any type of solutions for just how folks can get rid of those distractions, or is it literally to avoid them and schedule distraction time, or what's the solution there?
Yeah, so I am a big believer of, you know, when we lean into the best parts of ourselves and things that are like natural tendencies, like how do we make that work for us? And the fact that you know that once you're on all day, right? Because people are tweeting you back and like, it's just this like kind of black hole, right? So you need to set boundaries to that. Maybe you don't get on till noon, or maybe it is an after the work thing, or maybe it's the carrot that after you do your best work, right? Like whatever project or activity or workout, like we're going to fill in the blanks. I don't know what your goals are. Then you get to go on Twitter for X amount of time, right? And so kind of using it as the carrot. But as a coach and a productivity coach, what I just heard, if with your permission, I'm going to show you how to turn that around to a positive.
I'm a little nervous, but you do have my permission.
It's all good.
Let me lay back on the psychology couch.
I'm sitting here rubbing my palms together like, let's see where this goes.
Yeah. So one of my tricks in my toolbox, and I say tricks loosely, is that we need to find things that already are working for us. And the fact that you're telling me that once you're in, that's called momentum. Have you ever like started on your task list first on the day and you get some quick wins and you're like, oh my gosh, like I didn't really feel like working today. Or I didn't really feel like working on that project. But these quick wins are the momentum to keep going and keep going.
Yes.
Okay. Well, when you're on Twitter, it's like these quick wins. Like you're there, you're getting something out of it. It's socializing, people are Twittering you back. And once you're in, which means you have the ability to focus and you have the ability to stay with one thing. And not everybody does. Like I'll have people come to me and say, oh my gosh, like I can't focus. I can't stay on one activity for any amount of time. And after exploring, I will in fact find areas in which they are. And they're like, oh my gosh, you're right. So, oh my gosh, like you can focus once you have the momentum. So I would actually use those traits and use them to work for you. So what can you replace with being on Twitter that when you invest your time will actually make a return on your investment? Because you already have the skill set. You already have that kind of focus. We just need to replace it with something that will give you a return on it.
Hey folks, we're taking a quick break from our chat with Amber to tell you about today's sponsor, the University of California, Irvine, Division of Continuing Education. UC Irvine, aka UCI, ranks among the top 50 universities nationally and is also one of the top 10 public universities in the country. They offer programs ranging from business to IT, healthcare, finance, and law. And the online courses offer flexibility and an immersive classroom experience since you'll get to interact with your peers. Yes, fellow introverts, we will still need to be social. So if you're trying to start a new career, get your company off the ground, or better understand the world around you, the UCI Division of Continuing Education has you covered with a range of resources and over 60 convenient certificates. UCI's spring quarter is coming up and registration is open. To learn more, visit ce.uci.edu/podcast. Again, that's ce.uci.edu/podcast. And if you can't remember that, be sure to check out the show notes for this episode or our weekly newsletter. And now, back to our fun conversation with Amber.
That wasn't as painful as I thought it might be, so I appreciate that. I do have a question, and I'm honestly not sure if there's an answer, but it's something, and it seems like I've faced this more as I've gotten older, as I've progressed into senior millennial stage. I think I'm almost at elder millennial stage at this point, because when I was called a senior, it was 2 years ago now. And I find that like sleep is this thing that continues to elude me more often, but I've always been, quote unquote, to say a night owl. So work hours are inherently in conflict to my natural like sleeping rhythm, if you will. So for example, and I've talked to Rich about this, I'm not a morning person by any means, but if I wake up in the middle of the night, I'm fine getting work done. And usually I will now get up and work on something on the show or the book or the podcast or the website or something to that effect. Luckily, I can't get on Twitter because no one else is up. So there's no one to talk to. So I'm like, okay, I'll just work. But then I know that that's pushing into my work clock because that's fine on a Saturday. That might work on a Friday. But if it's Sunday, I'm like, okay, now I'm counting down the clock to the work hours. Have you found a way to solve for that? Do I literally need to schedule my sleep better now?
Oh my gosh. Well, I got to be honest with you. I have a recommendation for entrepreneurs that I always give. So I will give that because I know it works. But I will agree, you're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place. Like you have a start time that you have to be on and do your best work at your day job. For entrepreneurs, I say lean into it. Like if you're not a morning person, then don't schedule morning meetings. And if you're doing your best work in the middle of the night, who am I to say don't do that? Like if you find a routine that's working for you, then why not have some grace with yourself and take the guilt out of it? So that's my recommendations with the freedom of someone that's, you know, a full-time entrepreneur. But that's also not always true even in entrepreneurism. Like so you have kids that wake up and they have to go to school. So whether you're a morning person or not, you're going to school. But we have other social responsibilities. So we're always, no matter if we have a full-time job or full-time business owner, we do have structures outside of our control that we do have to kind of adhere to. For you, I would find would it work best if you like came home and took a nap after work and then you did your best work in the middle of the night? Like that might be good and you're still getting enough sleep. For me, I always recommend finding what works best for you. And if you're going to tell me that your work's not suffering in your daytime job, then I say go for it. If it is, then we need to find another solution for that.
Those naps are so dangerous. Those naps are, you got to be careful with those after work naps.
To be perfectly honest, it's obviously a solution I'm still working through because it's honestly something that has come up more often and I can only attribute it to age, but maybe it's just the natural thing, where I am in my working career, if you will. But no, typically, so what I used to do, so for the benefit of the audience, is I'd wake up at 4 a.m. and I'd stare at the roof for 2 hours and then maybe go back at 6 and then fall into deep sleep and be exhausted at 7 because it's actually worse to fall into that REM sleep and wake up an hour later than just stay up and get up to work. And so my solution was like, all right, and I don't remember what night it was, but I'm like, all right, I'm already having this insomniac spell. I might as well get up and be productive. So I just started doing work that would move the podcast forward or start working on a blog. That way I'm 2 or 3 blogs ahead or putting show notes together. So at least I could feel like that time wasn't completely wasted. Now, I'm still sleepy, but at least I did something with it. And then when I get to work, I just drink more coffee and energy drink. So I haven't solved that work part of the equation yet. Still working on that. But at least I feel like those hours aren't wasted anymore like I used to before.
Right. Okay. So a couple things on that. The last part, the energy drinks and coffee. Do you have like a cutoff time?
I try not to drink coffee after 12, but maybe I need to move that schedule up.
Yeah. I mean, my coffee doesn't have that kind of impact on me, but maybe you're drinking some strong coffee. So maybe moving that up. 12 seems totally reasonable to me to be able to, you know, wind down and get a good night's sleep. But what you're saying is like you wake up earlier. So I'm just going to share a little story. So back to when I said I was committed to staying home with my son for 2 years and I consulted. So very early on, my son wasn't even 3 months old and I had already had my domain and my business name and an idea of my business. And I purposely sat on that because I knew that I wanted to take advantage of this opportunity of consulting, but more importantly, commit to my initial goal, which was to be at home with my son. So on his second birthday, I launched my business, like on the day that was my business launch. And so I put him into preschool and we started out 2 days a week and then it went to 3 days a week. And you know, with preschool, it's like 3/4 days. And my business started taking off, but there is a lot to do when you start a business. So I actually woke up at 3:30 in the morning for a year and a half, and I would work till my son woke up at 7. And then I'd get ready with him and get him ready and then get him to school. And then I would see clients during that like 9 to 2 o'clock timeframe. And why I'm telling you this story is because I was not a morning person, right? Like that was not my, anyone that knows me knows like that is not my natural tendency. But I did what it took to get to the goal. And while I could have kept telling myself I wasn't a morning person, I chose to maximize that time while my son was sleeping so that I could achieve those goals. And then all of a sudden it was easy and it was a habit and it was just part of my routine. And I got my best work done because it was quiet, uninterrupted. My husband wasn't, you know, around. He went to work really early as well, like at 5 or 6 in the morning. My son was still sleeping. And so it's kind of once you do it and it's hard at first, but you keep doing it. Now, all of a sudden, I literally some nights fell asleep earlier than my 2-year-old son, right? Like it's 8:15 at night and I'm exhausted because I woke up so early. So now naturally it flipped my body. That's just my personal experience.
I can relate to that. So I have a comment/question here and I really just want to get your perspective on it. I also feel like some of it's like psychological. So I don't have any kids, but I do think it's funny every time someone tells me this kid related story, and I have been around kids when this happened, and that they sleep in on the weekdays yet wake up early on the weekends. And that's the same thing that I have as well. So I'm always exhausted at work. Like if I could move sleep to work, then it'd be great. If I could just put a bed in my office, I'd be good to go. But there's like this psychological effect, like where I know if I don't have to work the next day, I spring up at 7. I got all this energy. I'm ready to play. I'm ready to work on the show. And so I just wonder, do you feel a piece of it? Is that you know that you are moving your business ahead? Do you think some of that energy just came from I'm doing something I'm passionate about?
Absolutely. And do not undermine being passionate. You will find this in different tasks in your business, right? There will be certain tasks that you lean into because you're like, oh my gosh, when I'm done, like I have so much energy. And there's others that could be simpler, but they're not your zone of genius that just deplete your energy. And so it's part the type of tasks, and then it's part like what's the end goal? Like starting a business or running a business and hitting those goals, that is like, for me, I mean, that is my drug of choice. Like that lights me up and gives me energy like no other. And so when you're saying like, you know, go into the day job, I totally get that, right? Like maybe that's not where you're finding your passion and energy from right now.
Yeah, I found even for myself, my productivity hours, and I've talked about this on the show, like getting up at 5 a.m. And I don't really think of myself as a morning person per se. Like I'll be groggy, I'll be grumpy. But when it comes to doing creative things, whether it's for the podcast or it's writing or whatever else, I need to do those things before work because I know that when I get home, I'm going to be exhausted. And there's a lot of those. There's 24 hours in a day out there. You know, I can do it. You can do it. And you need to organize your time better type of comment. So what do you say to that where people are really saying, hey, I know there's 24 hours in a day. I have these few hours in the morning. I go to work. I know there's hours in the night, but I just don't have the energy. Like I'm just too absorbed and zapped out to do anything else productive, to move my professional pursuits forward, to move my business forward, or to even have the energy to enjoy spending time with family and friends.
Yeah. Well, if you're like me, when I hear that now, it makes me cringe. You know, you have the same 24 hours as Oprah or this or that. Okay. Yes, that's true. But this is not about time, right? Because we do. It's a fact. We all have the same amount of time. It's energy management. And it's about where are you putting and investing your time and energy. And things are either going to give you energy or deplete your energy. Activities are either going to propel you towards your goals or derail you. That's it. And so if you were to take an audit of where you're investing your time, you have to be ruthless with it. Like, especially if you're doing like a side hustle, right? Like you have your day job and you are looking to build something on the side. Plus you have all the other hats, right? Like you're probably in a relationship or you have a spouse, maybe you have kids. You may want to volunteer in your community. Like, that's the real life of a lot of people. And so at every moment, it's a decision point of where we're going to invest our time. Here's my best advice. Whether you've started a business or you're working on starting a business, whether the business is already going and making you money, there is one goal, and that's a revenue goal. Okay. All other goals are just strategies and tactics to create revenue. And when you're doing it on the side, if your end goal is to get out of the day job, your goal is to replace your income on a consistent basis. Like, that's your first revenue goal. And when we want to set really, really high revenue goals, because we're a business owner, like the first one that is kind of like the first milestone needs to be, what do I need to make to replace my income on a consistent basis and cover all the things like health insurance and all of that? Like, what is that number? And every task or activity that you're going to do in your business needs to be funneled through, is that going to impact that number? And if it's not, it's ruthless decisions. It's cutting things that you tried that aren't working, that aren't getting results, because we all try a lot of things in our businesses. That's just the nature of business. But you have to have these ruthless conversations with yourself or a coach or someone that's going to have it with you about, well, what's the return on it? How is that affecting that dollar amount that I can make on a consistent basis to walk out that door?
This reminds me of something you said earlier about negotiating with yourself. And this answers this in a way. But for a lot of us, if we're just kind of really thinking about this for the first time, how do you even know? And I think you've answered it on the business side, but on the personal side, and maybe even just in the professional investment and self side of things, how do you even know if you're negotiating for the right things? Because, for example, I could wake up, and I've noticed for me, there's a difference between what I do when I'm working on stuff for myself and what I do when I get to work. So when I wake up and I'm working on stuff for myself on the entrepreneurial side of things, I know that that time is best spent doing creative stuff. And that could be as simple as writing an ad spot. That could be creating the episode outline for a guest that we're going to talk to. That's best done in the morning when I first get up. But then when I go to work, the first thing that I want to do is go through email. And I've heard various things about that. Don't start with email. Don't look at email until noon. I can't do that because of the nature of my job. I manage people. Right. People need things from me. So those, I only look at email at 8 and 5. If I did that, I'd probably get fired or I'd have people come into my desk. So how do you feel about this idea of even, I guess I would call it fake productivity? And by that, I mean, you know, when I talk about what I do at work, I'll do a bunch of little tasks that feel good, like just to start ramping up, but they aren't things that necessarily create the biggest impact. You know, you've also heard people, I think it's like Eat That Frog, or where you start with the hardest thing in the morning. And I can't do that when I get to work. I have to start with little things that make me feel good, and they may not move the needle much, but they are things that help me build momentum. So is that fake productivity where you know, people are doing a bunch of busy work to build momentum?
Okay. So I'm so glad you shared that story. First of all, it's not fake productivity. It's just not productivity. Because again, productivity is investing your best time into your best activities. And we are not meant to be productive all day. And in fact, we are not. Nobody is. We are productive when we're doing those high value, high return activities. So that may be 90 minutes a day. It may be an hour a day. It may be 3 hours a day. Depends on your schedule. The rest is busy work. And everyone, whether you're an employee or even running your business, there is a lot of busy work that keeps the things going. Like, I can't say, I'm sorry, I'm busy being productive over here. I'm not responding to client emails or inquiries or whatever that is. Like, that is a bucket that has to be, you know, you have, unless you're delegating it out, like in your business, like that is you. And likewise in your business. If you looked at my ideal week and block schedule, I have the first 30 minutes of the day, it's email and admin. And I am like a car that needs to be warmed up. And if I was telling myself, you know, traditional productivity rules of you need to do your highest value activity first thing in the morning, well, I already told you I'm not naturally a morning person. And so I am just like you, Marcus. I am the person that needs to have some quick wins, and those quick wins give you the endorphins to keep going and build that momentum. When we negotiate ourselves is when we have decided 30 minutes, like I'm in and out of my email and I'm processing them. I had decided yesterday I want to get these 2 or 3 smaller tasks done. I estimate that'll take 30 minutes. And at 30 minutes, are you going to stay in your email? Are you going to stay doing busy work, or are you going to jump into your high value activity? That's the decision point of whether you're going to be productive or not.
Mm. So I guess you had mentioned two things. You had said time audit, which I've heard some people do.
And then when you're talking about something like that, 30 minutes, is that conceptual or do you literally break it down to, okay, at these 30 minutes, at least here's a time where I'm going to make these decision points?
Yes. So I actually do something, I call it my five daily planning pavers. It's a wrap. So review and action plan at the end of the day. It should take 10 to 15 minutes. You can do this at work. You can do this for your personal life. You can do this in your business. And it's five steps that I teach to set yourself up for the next day and make sure nothing's falling through the cracks and setting your priorities. Part of that, the very last step, is actually looking at the time on your calendar and scheduling specific time blocks for specific activities. And what that does is a couple of things. It leans into a principle called Parkinson's Law. Parkinson's Law says that tasks expand to the amount of time given. And so if you're working on, you know, high value task number one, and there's not a meeting after it, or there's not another call or none other project or task, that task will actually expand because there's no end time. And so if someone walks into your office, it's okay. If the phone rings, you're going to check it. If you get bored, you're going to jump on social media. But when we create specific blocks of time for specific tasks, that is the time we're being productive. And it's like a little sprint. And then when we're done, there's white space. Like, I'm not saying schedule your whole day. Like, white space is your best friend because things happen. You get called into meetings unexpectedly at work. Like, everyone has too many meetings. And so you have to have that white space to move that around. But for that 30 minutes, that's your productive time, distraction-free, interruption-free.
Now, this also got me thinking about the various systems and processes for getting organized. And there's a ton of books that are out there on this. I've tried a few systems myself. I've tried getting things done, which honestly felt like a lot of work. It felt like there was more work to maintain the system than me actually getting things done, which was kind of weird. And for a lot of these systems that I've tried out, they start off good at first. And then next thing you know, a few months go by, maybe a few weeks go by, and I fall off. And then you fall off, you start to feel bad, you go back into old habits, you start to feel worse. So what advice do you have for people to maybe put some checks in place to help avoid that fall off that often happens when we try to launch a new process or a new system?
Keep it simple. Like, every one of my clients at some point, either when they come to me or in the past because it didn't work, when I figure out why, it's because they made it too complicated or they went on a crash diet. Right? Like, it's the first of the year and you go in this like massive diet and it's not going to sustain. It's not a lifestyle change. So, but the same is true for our productivity. It's like you had no schedule and you were free to do what you wanted when you felt like doing it. And then January 1st comes along or March 1st or whatever day you decide. And now you're going to stick to this super strict schedule and this in these routines and life is going to be great if you could just have the willpower to power through. That's never going to work. So ease into it. Build, I call it bookending your days. So I think everyone should have two routines in the morning, two routines in the evening. So you bookend your days and that's it. Like, don't create more structure than that. Let that be your routines and let that go for a while. And then you're going to add in another layer of maybe time blocking specific activities. And then you build upon it, and slowly building upon it is going to create the long-term results versus trying to crash diet into something that doesn't work. And the other thing that I need to say to that is that when you're trying on new processes or systems and you're keeping it simple, you have to keep tweaking. Okay. There is, you know, I'm at this point in my business that I just signed a book contract here and I'll be writing it in 2019 and it'll be out in 2020. And I, as a productivity specialist, had to determine, like, am I going to write a book about specifically how to be productive when at the core of who I am, I know that it's different for everybody? Or do I write a book about, I know it's different for everybody, here are some options. When it doesn't work and you get these symptoms, like, here's how you tweak it. Because I don't think there's enough people honoring how different everybody is. We all just need to find our best time to invest in our best activities.
Well, congratulations on the book deal. That's super exciting.
Thank you. I wanted to say one more thing. For those of you that are listening that want to start a side business or do already have a side hustle, you may think that you having limited time is a negative. And I am here to tell you, without a doubt, that is not a negative, because my clients have all the time in the world to run these businesses, and they're not efficient and they're not effective with their time. and they're coming to me to be more productive with their time. When we have very little time, I have found that that is some of the most productive people because you see time as a finite resource. And so no matter if you have 2 hours a week or 10 hours a week, as long as you're investing that time, you are steadily moving towards the end goal. And I guess my motivational advice is like, just own that. Do your best with that time and just keep moving forward. Don't think only if I had 30 hours. If you had 30 hours or 40 hours, it expands to 12-hour days. And then that expands to, oh my gosh, I'm getting a divorce and I'm sick and I'm not going to the gym. Like that's the real life of entrepreneurship if you don't get these skill sets and habits done right up front or at some point, you know, cry mercy and decide you want to do it different. But you have an opportunity to do it different now and maximize that time so that when you do open the doors full-time in your business, like you've got these solid skill sets to take you really, really far.
Awesome. So Amber, it has been phenomenal having you on the podcast. I think this is a great place to wrap, going out with some inspiration for the people, letting them know that they are not alone. At first, I thought about singing that in the Michael Jackson voice and how badly that would sound. So I opted not to. But tell the people where they can find you and the best way if they want to get in touch and start working with you.
Yeah, thank you so much. So I also have a podcast called Productivity Straight Talk, where I do solo episodes where I teach and talk about topics we talked about today. And I also do interviews. And one of the favorite types of interviews is an entrepreneurial case study where I go deep into, you know, what were your challenges? Where are you at now in your business? And like what productivity thing got you there? And those things are like real life entrepreneurs. They got lives and kids and struggles and goals. And that's really a good place to start if you jump into the episodes. You can find me over at theproductivityspecialist.com.
Awesome. So yeah, it's been great having you on and all the best with the various things and writing the book. I'm sure you'll have the right time blocks and systems to get that done by the deadline too.
Yes, right? That's going to be the real test. Absolutely. We got a whole game plan going.
All right. Thanks, Amber.
Thank you.
And yo, so shout out again to Amber for joining us and we wish her the best of luck with her book. But yo, keep it simple. That's one of my biggest takeaways from this conversation. I know that I've tended to over-engineer things in the past where there was probably a much simpler solution, but how about you, fam?
I like the control over chaos and energy management. I definitely got to get on my hashtag self-care game this year, so I'm all for it.
Definitely, man. Even the idea of what productivity is, and she debunked it right away, and I think I kept saying it throughout the episode where, you know, organization and efficiency, but it's also about getting the best use out of your highest productivity time. So I thought that was super insightful and I'm glad she clarified that for us.
And if you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to share with your network and hit us with those 5 stars in Apple Podcasts and say a few words about the show. Today's review of the week comes from Praveen. It reads, 5 stars, great podcast on all financial and money issues. Thank you. I've been listening to this podcast for about the past 1 year and 7 months and I'm addicted. Thank you for that dedication. Really helps me with my financial issues and money management. Really glad it's produced by 2 successful African-American men. Outstanding work on their part, and I hope to be a lifelong listener of the podcast. Keep up the good work, and remember to save money for a rainy day. Praveen.
What a smiley face. So, Praveen, really appreciate those 5 stars, and also for you saying a few words about the show.
I also want to shout out Praveen for using the old school smiley face. I see the colon in the parentheses for you millennials that don't even know what that means. So shout out, double shout out to you for that. Respect.
Indeed.
And if you'd like to follow us or find us on social, we're on Twitter and Instagram at PayBalances and on Facebook at Paychecks and Balances. Follow our individual accounts at the Marcus Garrett with 1 T on Twitter, 2 T's everywhere else on earth. Rich is available all over the interwebs at I Am Rich Jones.
I am.
And as we mentioned up top, don't forget to join our email list by visiting paybal.co/email, where you'll receive our weekly newsletter covering actionable work and money tips and much more.
And also, as we mentioned, don't forget to visit paybal.co/Patreon, paybal.co/PATREON to become a PNB premium member. You can also think of yourself as an investor in some ways. So we want to thank everybody for listening. And until next time, be safe. We out. Peace.